All right, amen. How's everybody doing? Amen. We're going to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you right now for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Lord God, and the anointing that's on his life. We thank you for the impartations that we're receiving, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that you're raining down manna from heaven, Lord God, in this school, Lord God. Manna that we've never seen or experienced before, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us understanding and wisdom, Lord God, that we can properly discern and interpret, Lord God, the mysteries, Lord God, and the revelation that's coming forth, Lord God. So we can be, Lord God, that mighty generation, Lord God, hallelujah, that you want us to be, to go in and to take territory for you, Lord God, and to be the men and women of God that you desire for us to be. Lord God, we thank you right now for what you're doing by your Spirit. And Lord God, as always, I expect the Holy Spirit to show up, Lord God, in this meeting, Lord God, because if he doesn't show up, Lord God, I'll fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally unto him. Amen. 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 I looked at some of the grades on the last exam. Everybody did extremely well, and I thank God for that. You know, our desire as instructors under the apostle is to basically undergird his teaching. You know, it's to follow his lead and his order and his command, you know, and everything I endeavor to do is pointing you towards him, towards the message, and to instruct, train, and through even by example, how to honor and how to walk in honor towards your man of God. Amen. All right. We're going to continue. I have one more lesson that I want to wrap up on loyalty. I know the last two sessions we talked about loyalty. And in this session, we're going to talk about some more attributes of a loyal assistant. And I'm using the word assistant as somebody who works and operate in the ministry of helps. I know we have some pastors out there, but the majority of the people have some function and some role in the ministry of health. I just want to ask a question. How many people in here presently and even online, you could just acknowledge me, work or function in the ministry of health? Just raise your hand. See, that's everybody. Okay, amen. You know, have any pastors in here? So everybody in here is in the ministry of health. And what I'm going to be endeavoring to do today is as an assistant, I use the word ministry of helps and assistant, kind of synonymous, because you're called to assist your pastor, your apostle, in carrying out the vision that God has given them. Okay, let me just give you some synonyms of loyalty. A person who's loyal, they're full of faithfulness. They're committed. They're devoted. They have an allegiance. They're very reliable. They have a fidelity about themselves. They have a patriotism to their church and their pastor. Just like you have a patriotism for a country, when you're patriotic, you know, so I'm using that word patriotism as being patriotic or having a patriotism towards your church and your pastor. Amen? You walk in obedience and you walk in a consistency. Consistently doing the will of God for your life, functioning and operating in the role as an assistant in the ministry of helps, fulfilling the vision that you've been called to. Amen? All right. Also, too, there's a dependability. You know, when you are a faithful assistant, there's got to be a dependability that you can be dependent upon. When you're called upon to do an assignment, when you're called upon for whatever the case might be, you want to be a loyal person. You see, all of these attributes is going to help you walk in honor, you know, because the acts of loyalty will display itself in a person that walks in honor. Amen. All right. So let's move on. Also, too, trustworthiness. A loyal person is going to be trustworthy. They can be trusted. If something is said to you in confidence, you need to be one that is trusted. Amen. Hallelujah. Steadfast. Steadfast means that you're unmovable. I'm steadfast and I'm abounding in the faith. Steadfast means, you know, I'm not going to be moved to the left or the right, but I'm steadfast. I'm not going nowhere. My feet are planted deep into the soil of the ministry that God's planted me to. Well, whatever, I know we have a lot of members from World Shakers. I know your feet has to be dug deep into the soil of your ministry. People from World of Life, your feet has to be dug deep into the, because that's the only way you're going to grow and flourish. You know, anything that's planted in shallow earth could be subject to be blown away. And whenever the wind blows, you'll be blown away. So make sure that your feet are dug deep into the soil of the ministry that God's planted you into. All right. The act, another definition towards loyalty, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the act of binding yourself. When you bind, when you, like this is a binder, and these pages are bound in this tablet. When you're bound to something, you're attached to it. You know, you're strongly affixed to it. So you want to bind yourself, bind yourself intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually to the ministry God's called you to. In other words, spirit, soul, and body, the whole, the total man. Because when you're doing that, you're walking in loyalty. You know, whatever I can do physically, whatever. I can do from a mental aspect as far as, you know, using whatever talent mentally or physically that I have, you know, spiritually, whatever spiritual blessing that I can bestow towards the ministry that God's called me to. That's what I want to do. Amen. And last, a person who's loyal has an unswavering alliance. You know, when something goes back and forth, it's wavering, it's going back and forth. But when you are loyal to what God's called you to do, you're unswavering. You're fixed and you're focused. Amen. Okay. Loyalty is the principal qualification for every assistant. When I use the word assistant today, I'm really talking about, as I stated earlier, people who operate and function in the ministry of helps. I think the word assistant because you're called to assist your man of God. Loyalty is the principal qualification of every assistant in ministry. In an apostolic government, there must be loyalty among its members for the government to advance properly. There must be loyalty. Amen. Some inexperienced people or untaught or unlearned people would think, those people who are the most eloquent in their speech, the most intellectual, the most gifted or talented people are the ones that should be make the best assistants or the best pastors, you know, but that's not so. The Bible says that the cardinal qualification for leadership is faithfulness and faithfulness only, you know, being faithful. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards that a man or a woman be found faithful. And that's so very important. That's the first primary principle of being loyal. You want to be faithful. Amen. If you work in the ministry of helps and fall under the qualifications of an assistant to your pastor, the assistant is called to help the pastor to fulfill the vision. God will give a man or a woman a vision, and then he now will begin to cause people to come into that ministry to help that man of God fulfill the vision that God has called him to. And so they're called to assist. Our job as the ministry of helps is to assist our man of God, who is our pastor, in fulfilling the vision of our church. This is our assignment. And I want to point out, it's an assignment, but I believe with all my heart it is a call from God. I remember, and I shared this, I don't know, a while back. I can remember when I was around 20 years old, I was a student at Southern. We were doing a Christmas revival where we had churches and ministers come from other churches and was ministering. And I remember helping orchestrate everything, making calls and getting all the sound and the PA equipment set up. And I was in the background while another brother was operating as the master of ceremony. And all of a sudden, a thought came to me, you know, I did all of this work and I'm sitting here in the back. And I kind of felt a little, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, son, I've called you to be an assistant, to assist. I've called you to work in the background. You may not always be up front. Not everybody can be the leader. Not everybody can be the pastor. But every joint supplies. And it's so very important that you, when you know you're functioning and you're gifting and the talent that God has given you, it is vital to your ministry and to the vision that God's called you to. You know, because as I stated a while back, even your small toe has a very important function. If I lose both of my pinky toes, I couldn't stand up straight. They have an important, it might be the smallest member in my body, but it has a very important function. You know, even your small finger, you know, you can't really do a full fist. You know, you can't hold a pencil just right if you lost that finger. So never think of your assignment as being something minute, you know, because, you know, God places us all in the body of Christ as he will. You know, he graces you with special gifts and talents for his glory. And so it's so very important. And once you know what that is, just glorify God with that talent and that gift. And that will bring honor to you because you are being loyal by serving in the capacity towards your pastor. OK, let me move on. An assistant is one who follows orders that comes down from their pastor. The assistant dedicates himself to serve their pastor, who is called by God to serve in the office of a pastor. All pastors should be under and submit to an apostle. This is God's proper order so that the flow of anointing can flow down properly. Okay? The apostle operates under a heaven to earth connection where they're perceiving and hearing what's going on in heaven, and they're taking now what they've perceived and heard in heaven, and they're bringing it now to the pastors or to the leadership. You know, we saw a good example of that, you know, earlier when Apostle came out. You know, he spent time with God, and God gave him divine insight and revelation and mysteries and secrets that you know, hey, you're not going to hear everywhere. And now he's giving it to us. So as assistants, we can go, and there were several pastors there. They can go now and teach it to their congregations, you know, and that's a flow of anointing. Because see, what happens is, you know, the pastors who are submitted to an apostle, they get their marching orders from apostolic government. And what I mean by marching orders, you know, if the apostle said we're going left, guess what? Everybody takes an about face. You know, it's no question about which direction we're going in. You know, you follow orders, because from God to God's government, apostles and prophets, you know, to the pastors and to those people who assist. So now we're all operating as what? As one man. As one man, as one mighty moving force. And you can't be stopped when you walking in that kind of unity. And actually what happens is, I have down here at the end, it says, and then those who assist their pastor so that everybody now is operating in proper order and alignment, and now you can function supernaturally. One of the things I've learned that when I operate in any kind of assistant assistant type role here at Word Life Christian Center, I'm operating under the delegated authority of my man of God, you know, and I don't take it lightly, because when you do that, I'm trying to get a good illustration. One of the best illustrations I could think of is Clark Kent and Superman. You know, Clark Kent, he's a mild-mannered guy. If you ever seen the old cartoon or the series, but once he stepped into that telephone booth and he pulled off his suit and that big S came up on his chest, he got empowered. You know, and you see when you're submitted to your man of God, and you're given an assignment, guess what happens now? The anointing that's on him now comes down on you, and it empowers you to carry out that assignment. And we got to recognize that, because it's really not in our ability, but it's in God's ability. But it gets delegated down. And when you are aligned properly in the right position, well, then now that flow of anointing can come upon you. So now you can do exploits. Amen. All right, let me move on. It says here in Proverbs 27 and 18, it says, "Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited or serves his master shall be honored." And you see, when it's talking about keeping the fig tree, that's tending to something as a gardener. Okay, so that's a job. That's an occupation that someone's doing. So whatever your assignment is inside your ministry, you got to see that as a job, as an assignment from God. And when you keep the fig tree or keep your assignment, it says you will be honored. When you carry out and help your pastor carry out the vision that God's called him to, you're operating under a divine assignment that came by, that down from Almighty God, down to your pastor, and is filtered down to you. And it says that whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to reap the harvest of it. You're going to reap a harvest of the fruit that you labored for, because you become valuable to God, because you're part of an army that's moving forward. And every step the apostle makes, every step your pastor makes, you're making a step right behind him. Wherever he goes, so you go. Whatever blessing that's on his life, so it comes on you. Why? Because you're in proper alignment. Another translation of that same verse, Proverbs 27:18, is, "If you care for the orchard, you enjoy the fruits of it. If you honor your boss or your man of God, your pastor, apostle, you will be honored." All right, let me move on. You must understand protocol in ministry, the ranks in ministry, and the importance of submitting to delegated authority over you. You must understand the concept, and I said early, as one man, and also being a partner in destiny. You know, we need to understand that we're shaping the destiny of a nation. We're shaping the destiny of the kingdom of God. You know, God is restoring back to the earth apostolic order. And he's graced us with an apostle who is a visionary. And he's given us the divine secrets on how to function in ministry, how to be fruitful, how to be blessed, and how to walk as a conquering king in everything that we do. You know, nowhere in my lifetime has I received instructions like that. You know, knowing that I'm God's basically divine ambassador to carry out a kingdom assignment. You know, to carry out a kingdom assignment. Let's move on. All right, this is something that's going to you probably see again. A good assistant is like a tree, and I kind of talked about it already, planted by the rivers of water, rooted into the very heart of the ministry, that they shall not be moved away from the ministry God has called them to. They shall not be moved. A good assistant is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and you're gonna grow your fruit in season. Because you're keeping the vine, you're keeping the orchard, so you're going to eat the fruits thereof, you know, and you won't be moved. Their roots are planted deep into the soil of the ministry that God's called them to. This is vitally important, and I stated it earlier when I first started. You want to be plugged in and socketed in, and your feet needs to be deeply rooted in your ministry, deeply rooted. Because that's where you're going to prosper. That's where you're going to grow. Psalms 1 and 3 says, "And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in their season. Their leaves shall not wither." In other words, you're never going to be unproductive. When the leaves wither, the tree is not productive. But your leaves will never, because why? Because you're constantly getting spiritual nourishment. You're constantly getting built up. You're constantly getting energized. You're constantly getting the anointing poured upon you. You can't help but be successful. You can't help but be prosperous. You know, you can't help but be a blessing. You know, do I need to say this? Yes, I do. You know, sometimes God will just have you to do some unusual things. You know, invite four people to go on vacation with you and don't charge them nothing. You know, pay for everything, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting down, everybody's fellowshipping, you're there, you know, just socializing, and somebody walks up to you and says, I just want to be a blessing to you, and sow a seed into your life, and you say, wow, you know, this paid for everything. You know, I didn't ask for it. But you see, I've seen my apostle do that, okay? And one thing you learn, when you start to step out in faith and say, Lord, you know, I'm just following behind a good example, anointed good example. And then all of a sudden now you begin to see the fruit of that example manifest in your life. It's humbling, but you're going to eat the fruit of the orchard because you help nurturing it. You know, each and every one of you, no matter what you do in the ministry that you're called to do, you're part of the nurturing of your ministry. If it's singing, if it's ushering, if it's working in the parking lot, whatever you do, don't take it lightly. Okay, let me move on. A good assistant in ministry can be compared to a good ambassador, and I stated that earlier, of a country. He does not push his own ideas, our vision, our agenda, but he only puts forth the vision and the assignment of his pastor. You know, that's the only agenda you should be promulgating. When you talk to people, I'm always talking about the vision. When I'm doing the new members class, I specifically explain we're an apostolic governing territorial church, changing the lives of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. We are the home of covenant winners. You know, you're part of a mighty moving army. And you see, when people hear that, they get stirred up because, you know, it's bigger than yourself, you know. Inside of each and every one of us, there's a heart hunger for the supernatural because we're supernatural beings. And when all of a sudden now you're in an assignment that no one person can fulfill, but together we're marching forward to advance the kingdom. That's exciting. That's exciting. Amen? All right. A good assistant in ministry is compared to a good wife. He must not only obey instruction, but also genuinely support the flow of the head, which is the pastor. You know, you want to genuinely support the head. You know, when I say support, I mean undergird and uplift, you know, and be there whenever the doors open, you know, on Sundays, on Wednesdays, on Saturdays, on Thursdays and Fridays. If it's a supernatural money come to you conference, you always want to be in support. You cannot be an independent spirit. And we talked about people who had independent spirits. You know, those people who had independent spirits, they're only thinking about themselves, their own personal agendas. You can't be a controlling person like a Jezebel, and you can't be like a Vestai who just want to antagonize the man of God and not act right and just, you know, just go off. And you definitely can't be like Corinth, who went against Moses because he thought that he can hear from God just like Moses can hear from God. No, God will appoint a man over a ministry and give him the vision. And then now he'll bring in a supporting cast of people who have the same spirit and the same and function under the same agenda to carry out a unified vision. And that's so very important. This takes loyalty. It takes the spirit of Lord here to serve in the ministry of helps. I believe that, like I said earlier, it's a gift and it's a calling of God. Because I remember when, like I said, the Lord told me, he said, son, he says, I've called you in the background. I've called you to support. And he began to deal with me and share with me about supportive ministries. All right. And another scripture I want to point out in Romans 11 and 29, it says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So when God called you to something, you know, you can't make no excuses not to fulfill the assignment, because God is going to expect you to do what he's called you to do. And one thing I've learned about it, even when you begin, I remember as a kid, and I shared this before, and I remember seeing grass, like dead grass, brown, like wheat, just floating in a field. And the Lord said, that's a sea of people. And I saw myself just ministering to a sea of people, you know. And I remember sharing with friends and people, and I didn't know what I'm 6, 7, 8 years old, you know, about, you know, we got to live right, we got to serve God. Didn't know no scriptures. I just knew that God had a higher purpose, but I didn't know what it was, you know, because the burning is on the inside, you know. It starts off at an early age, but then all of a sudden you grow up and you want to pursue your own ideas, your own agendas, you know, and then all of a sudden things just ain't working out. Because you're straying away from the God-given mandate. But then once you get connected to an apostolic assignment or an apostle, one of the things that happens, and even if your pastor is on the apostolic government, it's the same thing. You now get reconnected to your destiny. Wow. You get reconnected because all of a sudden now the pieces of the puzzle start fitting into place, because you say, oh yeah, I see why that happened and why I just couldn't fit in over here. I was like a square peg in a round hole because it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. But when you get in the right place, it's all cylinders are clicking. You know, it's like a fine tuned engine. Why? Because you're doing what God created. Because see, we've been predestinated by God before the foundation of the world to be holy and blame before him, and to walk before him in love, and to fulfill our God-given assignments and destinies. Amen? All right, let's move on. Okay, these are some important points that we need to know in order to be good assistants. Always make mention of your pastor in a favorable light. Always acknowledge him when you minister to others. If you're ministering to people, if you're witnessing, you know, and you're inviting people to your church, you want to mention your pastor, you know, as your leader, as somebody you admire. Whenever I minister in prison ministry or in any aspect, I'll never start to talk or minister or share anything when I first acknowledge my apostle. Because what that does, that now aligns you with his anointing. Because you, in essence, you kind of lose your identity, because they don't need to see you, but they need to see who you're representing. And then you say, well, but I'm representing Christ. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You see, there's a lot of people couldn't see Christ because Paul never saw him. But Paul had an experience with him. You know, and he had intimate time with him spiritually. And so Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, follow your pastor, your apostle, as he follows Christ. And when you acknowledge him, you're lining up with his agenda on his behalf. Amen. Quote your head. You know, when I say quote, I'm talking about, you know, the things that you've learned from your pastor or your apostle. Quote your head as often as possible. As I said earlier, you're acting as an ambassador. You know, so when you minister and you begin to say, you know, let me share some of the things I've learned from my pastor or my apostle, and then you now begin to share those things, what's taking place now is God's going to back you up. You know, when he says, I need for the church to begin to witness, as you go about your daily activities, God's going to bring somebody to you. And then you start sharing what you learned on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and then you just tell them to come take a listen and see, you know, what God is doing. You know, you're exposing them to better things and giving them an opportunity now to get hooked up to something that's bigger than them. There must be a certain level of respect and admiration that you have towards your pastor. And all of these are attributes of loyalty that brings you and ushers you into honor. You know, you must have a certain level of respect. Never speak about your pastor or your apostle in a negative light. Never speak about them in a negative light. I'm using an illustration, an example Dr. Forbes said, because one thing I always admired his illustrations. I go back and listen to things, and because it just brings it home. I remember he was talking once. He said he was at a meeting where the apostle was at, and the apostle wanted him to come and help him minister to people who were, I guess, in the line. And he started calling his name, Forbes, 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 Forbes. And his name is Forbes. And so Dr. Forbes says, I thought I heard it, but I wasn't sure. He said, it was nothing wrong with the way the apostle said it, but my hearing wasn't in tune to hear my name from him. You see what I'm saying? You know, even though he wasn't pronouncing his name wrong, he said, no, it was nothing wrong with the way he said it. It was me not hearing him, not hearing my man of God's voice. You know, and when he said that, I said, whoa, you know, because some people said, that ain't my name. You know, that's, you know, but hey, he said, he can pronounce it no matter how he want to pronounce it. It don't matter. But I need to hear the way he pronounces it so I'll know his voice, you know. And I said, that just, you know, that's so important, you know. And so, and I use that illustration because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, some people would have said, well, that ain't my name. But that ain't the point. The point is, I've called you to help me. You know, are you going to assist, you know, or shall I look for another? you know, that's so important. Amen. That's so important. Amen. Okay. It is, it's more than, this is important here. In every institution, a particular person must be prominent or in charge, who is the head, or the pastor or an apostle. If more than one person is prominent or in charge, you have a situation where now you have two heads. And anything that has two heads is a freak. You ever watch something on TV, a two-headed monster? Sometimes they turn on each other. The two heads start turning on each other. Anything with, you can't serve two masters. You know, I had to learn that. My time is just winding down. Lord. Okay, make mention of the fact that, I'm not going to have time for that. Lord Jesus. One of the things I'm learning from the apostle, even though you have notes, you know, you want to allow the Spirit of God to flow through you. And so, you know, the notes are there, you know, because you know what you want to minister on. But the Spirit of God knows what he wants to say through you. And sometimes you can't get too boggled down with the notes. Another aspect we want to talk about is, and I know everybody know this, but it bears repetition. Honor your pastor's wife. Because, listen up, he that receiveth me, you know, let me read the scripture how it states it. You know, if you receive the you know, God says he's called them to be one. And when you receive the apostle, you receive his wife. But if you don't receive the wife, you're not receiving your pastor because they're one. You know, that's very important. Some people say, I like my pastor, but the first lady, no. That's a serious problem. And even equally, you see, all of those things were little small things cause you to walk in dishonor and cause the blessing not to come. You know, you want to honor the first family because I look at that as being like the Levitical tribe, you know, the priesthood, you know, basically the priesthood, not the Levitical tribe, the priesthood, because they're called with their man of God, with their father, with the man of God, they're called as leaders and pillars in the church, you know, and those are the ones. I mean, when a king has a son, the son is the heir to the throne. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. When Pharaoh had a son, his son was going to be heir to the throne. You know, no different in ministry. So as you honor the man of God, you honor the first lady, and you honor the family. Amen. And that's enough said about that. When you are called to minister to church members in any capacity, you know, make sure that you always speak in your pastor's behalf. You know, if I'm given an assignment and I'm called to do something, I let whoever I'm